have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 130 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film, TV, and sometimes comic books. I'm one half the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm Chris.
And I hope everyone's had a wonderful Easter bank holiday, had lots of chocolate, spent some time virtually with family. I know some people have done like virtual Easter egg hunts and things, which looked really great. What are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
Right, Nicola, we got Home of the Hulks, where we'll be talking about what we've been watching since the last episode, also doing and reading and such like. We've got our quick spoiler-free review of Afterlife Season 2. We've got our interview with Ron Funches, who stars in the Trolls films as Cooper, and is King Shark in Harley Quinn animated series.
Yep.
And we've got Hulk Topics, where we'll discuss your favourite uplifting and feel-good movies.
Sounds perfect.
Woo!
So, let's kick things off with At Home with the Hulk. So, I've been watching, reading, and doing the past couple of weeks then, Chris.
Well, we've been in the garden quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been really nice this weekend, which really is nice. Surprising for the UK.
Very thankful that we have a garden. Must be pretty hard not to right now. But, general gardening stuff we've been doing. Some de-weeding, tidying, that sort of thing. Just trying to keep busy. Chilling. Just generally chilling outside as well, reading some books and stuff.
I finished...
Okay. I read volumes 1 and 2 of Invincible.
Thoughts? Ben.
And I also read volume 1 of Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts? Invincible I haven't really got into it yet. I don't know. I feel like something just happened in book 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really grabbed me so far.
Ooh.
And Saga, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, I love Saga.
It was very cool.
But yeah. I finished book 2 of The Witcher. Yay! I'm now on book 3. I think it's called Book of Owls or something of Owls. So that's exciting. It's finally caught up with, like, the plot of the Netflix show. So that's exciting. So we've been doing Uno. And what's the one D? Begins with D. Just begin with D. Double. Which is really quite difficult, isn't it? It's a bit stressful. Yeah,
it's a little stressful.
We've also been playing a couple of normal card games, like... Rummy?
Beggy Your Neighbour and Rummy.
Yes, yeah. Which is good.
Yes, it's been really nice. Just chilling out and stuff. Also been playing some Rocket League and things. So we played with Sammy Lou, Luke and Dave of Jack and the Geek Talk.
Yep.
This was quite a while ago now, just around the time we released our last episode. And also Neil of Geico. It's been playing bits and bobs. Played with Neil last night. It was stressful.
But we finally won a game. So
we played like 10 games. But we lost most of them. But we did win the last one.
We have to win one before we go.
Yeah.
We will do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've also been continuing with various games, including Jedi Fallen Order, which I finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it towards the end. And it was really good. Definitely took a while to get into it for me, just because... It felt a bit clunky, like I always had to fight the game in order to get places and stuff.
Yeah.
But towards the end, you start really getting much more powerful and things, and you start to move much quicker, and it starts to feel a bit more like you're a powerful thing.
Jedi
thing.
We were listening to Nurse Chatting, and Ben was saying he finished it, and I think he kind of has similar feelings to you. Like, he said it was really, really enjoying it, and then it just kind of ended.
And he was like, oh. It was a surprising... Very sudden ending.
Was it like a cliffhanger or...?
Yeah, it felt like episodic. Like they'd gone, this is where we'll bookend that one. And then we'll just sort of...
Are they doing another one?
I don't know. Also, I didn't feel very... The story didn't complete in a very satisfying way, I will say.
Right.
But, you know...
Interesting.
It was kind of like a we woke up from our dream kind of thing to me, but...
Okay.
I've also been playing Half-Life Alyx. Taking my time with that one. Really loving it. It's a VR thing. Very, very cool. And Control, which has just implemented NVIDIA's Deep Learning Super Sampling version 2.
Oh.
So I can now run it with max settings with RTX, 60 frames per second, smooth. It looks great and it's super cool.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this goes over my head. So that means frame per second, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So all the eye candy up, but it's just Deep Learning Super Sampling essentially is like upscaling.
Right.
But like with... Clever technologies, but it looks really good.
Yeah.
Which is quite. Also, we baked some bread today.
We did, yeah.
Not quite finished.
It's in the oven right now and it's smelling very nice, so I'm very excited.
Good. We'll hope for the best though.
Yeah. We have turned into these people who are now trying to cook and bake while in lockdown.
I mean, it was a bread mix. And it's been in the cupboard.
Cool. Okay. What else?
Watching. What film have we been up to? We've been doing a couple of watch-alongs.
We have.
We did Captain America Winter Soldier
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. We kind of hosted that, didn't we?
Yeah, which was really good, actually. Yeah, really, really enjoyed the watch-along. I thought it was great to get everyone involved. It felt really nice to see everyone else sort of watching the film at the same time with their comments, some of their sort of facts and things from the film as well. And we got a trending, so that was really cool. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. We also did a Nice Guys watch-along with Jump Cut Online, which Indeed. Was fun. It's been a while since I've seen that film, and I really love it. I think it's great. I think it's great to see like Ryan Gosling actually be kind of funny.
Mm.
But there was obviously there's also the one with Steve Carell.
Crazy
Stupid Love. Yeah. I love that film. It's a good film. Also, Russell Crowe's pretty hilarious in it too.
Yeah.
And it's just the bit with the mermaid that made me chuckle. I don't know. It's just a really good film. I kind of like the noir style too.
Mm.
Shane Black, isn't it? He's done quite a few other good films, so I might check out some of those. He really likes Christmas though, doesn't he? Because he directed Iron Man 3. There was a bit of a Christmas feeling there.
There's
another Robert Downey Jr. film with him. I can't remember. I'm sure he's a detective in that as well. And he gets his hat, like little finger chopped off or something. I can't remember what film it is. Anyway, yeah, that was really good. We watched Hustlers on Amazon Prime Video because we missed this at the cinema. But I actually really enjoyed this film. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a good film. I enjoyed it.
J-Lo was really good. Do we call her J-Lo? Jennifer Lopez? I don't know. They change their name so often, don't they?
Is she rebranding?
Yeah. It was just a really interesting story. And it was actually based on a sort of true thing. And it was just interesting to see such a like great female-led ensemble cast. I thought that was good.
Yeah, even though they were playing villains.
Well, were they? I mean, they were bankers, so...
That's okay. It's okay if they're bankers.
It was morally grey. Morally dubious, shall we say.
It was morally inappropriate. Yeah. But fine.
Yeah. And I watched Hercules on Disney Plus. I do love that film. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a nice film.
Who put the guard in Gladiator, Chris?
Hercules, obviously.
Okay, and I think that was everything for film, right? We've got a couple of films to watch at the moment, actually. So we've got Blue Story to watch, and we've got like a Boss to watch at some point, because we missed both of those at the cinema. And I think we've also got Harley Quinn to watch. That's pretty exciting.
Also, Ben is doing a watch along.
Yeah, sorry, I completely forgot about that. Ben is from Nurse Chatting, at Nurse Chatting, is doing a Hot Fuzz watch along on Thursday at 8:30 PM, I believe. And we're excited about that. I haven't seen that film for ages, but it's really good. For the greater good.
Yarp.
It's funny. Yarp. There's so many good quotes. And you're not a huge fan of like the Cornetto trilogy,
are you? No, I don't know what it is.
Which is weird.
Very well liked.
Hmm.
Let's see.
But it'll be good. I think it'll be good for you to watch it again.
Yeah.
So, but there's so many good quotes from it. I just love it so much. I just love the bit, just Nick Frost's character. You know, because he's so obsessed with like Bad Boys and stuff. And you know, he's like, oh, it's so good. Yeah. So good. So TV.
TV, Afterlife Season 2, obviously. Yeah. Westworld Season 3, we watched episodes 3 and 4 now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoying it.
It's really, really good. Still a bit bonkers.
Very bonkers.
Yes.
Maeve is now in it. Mm-hmm. When did she come into it? Wasn't the first episode.
Episode 2.
Okay.
I think all three.
Not sure.
Also, another person is back, but I'm not going to say who because spoilers. But yeah, it's interesting. I can't remember how many episodes there are in this season, but I feel like it's going somewhere now.
Mm.
And it's not quite as kind of twisty turny as usual, which is kind of good, but just really enjoying it. I think it's great.
I love the vibe of the best
production values.
Mm-hmm. Tales from the Loop, we've been watching.
Yeah.
We've got like 2 episodes left, but mm-hmm. it's really kind of ponderous, I think you said. Ponderous sci-fi, which it's very much slower pace, which mm-hmm. I like. I'm fine with a slow pace. And yeah, it's cool. It's a little somber.
Yes.
A little melancholy, you know, but it's good.
I think the thing with I like it, and I think the visuals are fantastic. The score is beautiful. Go and check it out on Spotify. And I'm really enjoying it. But the thing that gets me is I don't know, Nate's probably going to shout at me if he's listening. The fact that they don't really answer much kind of bugs me a little. I know it's supposed to be sort of open-ended and questioning and stuff, but...
Sort of a little bit sort of X-Files in that way, maybe. Or,
yeah, true.
Twilight Zone type thing.
Yeah.
Looking forward to watching the rest of them.
Three.
Better Call Saul?
Yeah, Better Call Saul. Crazy episode, last episode. but I definitely think it's... it's definitely kind of peaking up to Breaking Bad standard, yeah. I think.
It's getting more and more intense.
It was crazy intense. also, I was a bit confused. Out of context spoilers, petrol cap, ?
Yeah.
That was odd, right?
She took the petrol cap.
Very strange.
We missed something? Is there something we should remember from Breaking Bad that we've forgotten all?
Maybe. Like wasn't someone reference? Tracked by a petrol cap in Breaking Bad?
Is that how they knew where he was?
Maybe.
They've been tracking him.
But yeah, oh, it's just such a good show. Really, really good.
I don't think he was ever that bad of a guy, though, right? I mean, it kind of feels like he just kind of got dragged into it.
True.
Along, and they never I don't feel like he ever really became like a bad guy necessarily. Anyway. True Blood, we've been watching True Blood.
Yes.
Sexy, naughty vampires, I think you said.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's just silly nonsense, but it's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
I quite like it. It's okay.
It's good. I'm enjoying it. We'll finish season one.
Yeah.
And we're going to start season two shortly. Mm-hmm. The Office US as well.
Yes. Oh, I just love this show so much.
I like it. It's very silly that I can't watch more than a couple of episodes
really?
In a row.
It's
just a little bit too much. But
it's just so nice. I don't know. It's just one of those comforting sort of TV shows for me. Yeah, I
don't know. We also watched One Man, Two Governors. This was one of the National Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
Performances that are showing live at the moment.
It's a fundraiser, so they're, they're doing one a week and it's on every Thursday. Mm. First one was One Man, Two Governors. At the moment it's Jane Eyre, which your sister said was a bit theatrical.
Yes.
It's like 3 hours, if I remember rightly.
3 hours. She starts the play by crying like a baby, I believe, is what my sister said. So, yes, definitely a bit more on the theatrical side of things. One Man, Two Governors, though, what did you think?
I actually quite enjoyed it. It was very slapstick and a little bit silly.
It was a bit too slapstick in places.
It felt like, you know, the play that goes wrong. Kind of that sort of slapstick. A little bit cringe. But there was an interesting story there.
Yeah, I think with the play that goes wrong, it keeps moving. That's what I like about it. It doesn't dwell too much, whereas this did kind of stop and dwell on a joke for quite a while at some points, didn't it? Which... was maybe a little bit too much, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
What do you think of Thingy, though? You don't like
James
Thingy.
Corden. Yeah, I'm not a huge... I quite like him in Gavin and Stacey. But not normally a huge fan, but I thought he was quite good in it, actually. It really suited him. And I thought some of the sort of audience interaction was actually really quite funny.
It was fake, wasn't it? At least one of them was fake.
One of them was fake, but I'm pretty sure he asked someone for a sandwich and they actually did have a sandwich. It was like, what?
Brought a sandwich, yeah. And we also watched Taika Waititi's Ragnarok live stream.
Yes.
He basically didn't really watch any of Ragnarok.
No, because it was supposed to be like a watch-along party. Because James Gunn did one with comic book for Guardians of the Galaxy. And Taika Waititi did one for Thor, but didn't end up watching most of it. He was basically talking to, because he had two guests, didn't he? So you had Tessa Thompson and also Mark Ruffalo. And Mark Ruffalo and Taika Waititi is pretty much like watching two dads, trying to work out. And at one point, they just basically one's eye pair of eyes on the top and then underneath the mouth.
And then Mark Ruffalo was he's doing this thing with his mouth as well, which was quite funny doing that.
He did also talk about Love and Thunder, so the next one's like Thor 4, and he was basically saying that it's basically it makes Ragnarok look normal. Right.
Okay.
And he was basically saying he asked a group of 10-year-olds what they wanted in the film. Also, look out for flying sharks or no, space sharks.
Space sharks. I hope they don't jump the shark. Literally jump the space shark, because I feel like they could, because there's a couple of moments in like Guardians 2 which gets a bit too much, like
the Pac-Man. That was
when they're going, like, they're doing the jumps through space and their faces
are a bit weird. Yeah, that was a bit weird.
Bit too much for me, but yeah, I really like him, so I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah. Also, he showed some sort of concept art of, I don't know whether it was joking or not. It was like me. And it was also like New Asgard.
Yeah. Everyone was saying Meek looked sexy. Yeah. Put him in some sexy armor.
That did make me chuckle.
We started this at like 12 midnight.
Yeah, and it went on till like 2 a.m.
We were ready to go to bed and it started and we were like, okay, we'll watch this. Yeah. And we just sat there watching
but
the phone.
But it was just so funny. And it was just basically like famous people just seeming like ordinary people. They were just cooking. He was cooking like lamb. Tessa Thompson was cooking something.
He gave up, didn't he? In the end, he was just like, oh, it's probably...
It was interesting though, because they were literally talking about what it was like for them as well, like being in lockdown, and it was just interesting, I think. Okay, right, yeah, so what you said about Thor Love and Thunder, it's so over the top in the very best way. It's like we asked a bunch of 10-year-olds what should be in a movie and look out for space sharks from the comics, because I think it's very much, I'm pretty sure he said it's very much inspired by Jack Kirby. He's one of the like big artists from the comic, so I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think that's everything. So on to the review.
People think all those things I miss doing with Lisa, I could just do them anyway. They're missing the point. I miss doing nothing with Lisa.
Be strong. Everybody's struggling. It's not always their fault.
So Afterlife Season 2 is out on the 24th of April. We've now watched all 6 screeners we were given.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much managed them. We watched them in 2 sittings, which is probably quite telling of what we thought of the show.
Yeah.
But the synopsis of the show in general is, after Tony's wife dies unexpectedly, his nice guy persona is altered into an impulsive, devil-may-care attitude, taking his old world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your initial thoughts on this season of Afterlife?
So I really enjoyed the first season. I thought it was great. Not always the hugest fan of Ricky Gervais. Absolutely love him with Carl Pilkington, though. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Really loved him in that. I thought the first season was great. And season 2, I just thought it was sweet, earnest, and just very real. Genuinely moving and quite brave. You'll laugh and you'll cry. You'll also fall in love with the dog all over again. I think it... Probably today it's my favourite Ricky Gervais project, really.
I would agree with that, yes. I think he's really genuine in this and he actually does a great job, like acting. I would agree with your statement on he's quite a difficult character sometimes, as in Ricky Gervais, like maybe, because he's very, very blunt.
I think it's a persona, right?
I don't know. I like it. I think it's fine. But okay. I can see why often people would be offended by him.
Right.
But I think his heart's in the right place, personally.
Yeah. Well, he's quite, it's kind of refreshing, to be fair, isn't it? Just to be honest.
Brutal honesty. Yeah.
I must say, I do really agree with him on his stance on animal welfare and stuff.
Yeah,
I really love him for that. So,
initial thoughts, season 1, really enjoyed. Really excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, very refreshing, honest feel to difficult subjects. I was looking forward to getting into it again. Yeah, coming out. Just great stuff. We binged it all, as I said, pretty much. Only 6 short episodes, unfortunately. Yeah. But...
that's kind of all you need sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the job.
Yeah.
And it continues on from pretty much where we left off, and not too much has changed, really. But it was good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so characters and performances.
Yeah, so pretty much all the same people as season 1, but with a few additions.
Yeah.
All great, but notable mentions? You got any of those?
Yeah. I really love Joe Wilkinson's Postman and Roisin Connor. Is that how you say his name? Royce? Oh, sorry if I butchered that. Roisin, sorry. Roisin Connor's sex worker, not prosy. Right. We have to make that. Right. I think they're just both adorable and I love how they like adopted him. I think really, really great.
I do like that, both of those characters. That postal worker's weird, though.
Right? A little bit strange.
Showing up to have a bath.
Just a bit so quirky. I really, really enjoy Penelope Wilton's Anne. So this is the older lady who's also lost her husband, who they sit with in the park.
Yes, she's great.
In the park, in the cemetery.
Right.
And I just think they're just, it's just such a kind, caring and honest relationship those two have. And it's just, agreed. It's just really nice.
Yeah, it's constructive for both of them, I think. It's nice for them just to sit and talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. I would also say Tony, I think.
Ricky Gervais. Obviously, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, like I said before, just really great performance. Super emotional at times, yeah. Which you might not expect from him, usually. But he's great.
I think he's got a really good sort of arc in this season as well. Because obviously in season one, he was grappling with whether he should commit suicide or not and just being a bit of an asshole because he could sort of thing. Whereas in this, he's
kind of on the other side of that, isn't he? And he's trying to struggle to find out what his meaning is going forward, maybe.
And he's just kind of, because obviously everyone cared for him so much in the last season, he's trying to kind of give back a little bit, isn't he? And it's just really some of the nice small things he does for people, like taking them out for coffee and stuff. It's just really... Yeah,
just saying the right words. Like, and it's what just, people want to hear and what need to hear.
It's just really nice. And there's also a little bit more of a sort of will-they-won't-they relationship with Ashley Jensen's nurse as well.
Yeah, she's a good character as well.
Yeah, I think she's quite honest as well, isn't she? They've got quite a nice nice relationship.
I really like Kath from the paper. She's funny.
Kath, is she the weird, quirky one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. From, what show is it we used to watch? She did some really strange voiceovers for Charlie Brooker show. But obviously, we've got to say, the MVP of the show is the dog, right? I'm sorry. Just so adorable. That's not
surprising given Ricky Gervais' stance, I believe. So true. It's probably him trying to get in some kind of political stuff in there. Mm. Not really political, but, you know. His views and stuff, which why wouldn't you if it's your show kind of thing?
I mean, it just shows how important they are as well, really, isn't it?
Especially in this case where you've like lost someone.
And
it's like the dog is
kind of
his last link to her.
Yeah. Almost. Anything else you
I just want to say I really hate Paul Kay's character.
Is this the therapist?
Yeah, psychiatrist, I'm not quite sure what the message is supposed to be with this guy. I don't know if it's just supposed to be comedy, but I feel like a lot of the interactions in the show have like a message between the lines kind of thing. But in this case, I can't really figure out what this guy's purpose is, except just to annoy everyone and just to annoy me.
Well, it was personally. Kind of, it was funny at the start, but then it just got a bit crude and...
I think last season he was... I feel like he was funnier.
Yeah.
I can't really remember, honestly, but...
It was just a bit... It just feels a bit
adversarial. Adversarial this season. So maybe he's just supposed to be like this... Someone to overcome, like a bit of an... Like an adversary.
Maybe,
Someone to...
Okay, so story.
Story. So yeah, it starts really interestingly. It's got like quite an upbeat... intro sequence, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And it was playing a Carpenters song. But I was singing along. My mum loves Carpenters, so I've listened to those growing up. But And then the story continues just to tackle kind of like the issues set out in the first season.
Really. Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit more to it this season as well, because there's a couple of extra things going on, isn't there? There's like the Amdram performance that they're preparing for, which is hilarious. There's also, they carry on with the whole sort of local stories for the newspaper, which are just bonkers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I think my favourite one had to be, there's in the opening episode, there's a lady who turns 100.
Right.
And she's very honest about things. And I think they could probably win an award for how many times they got "See you next Tuesday" into at the opening episode.
Yes. I love this. That kind of, a lot of old people don't care. It's quite funny.
There's no
it's
filter just like, anymore, yeah, is there?
They're old.
Yeah.
Who's going to put them in prison at this point? They can say what they like.
Yeah, so, true.
That's really, and I feel like a lot of these the stories that they go and the people that they see for these stories now, there's a lot more meaning to them as well.
Yeah,
like you can, it's almost like he's seeing through the veil now, and he sees that they're looking for attention or whatever because they're sad or they're
normally it's like a front for something, isn't it? There's one about a lady and a cat. And he kind of, it's just really touching as well how he kind of responds to it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see him develop, and it's just a really nice sort of arc, I think.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of comedy moments in this which are maybe a little over the top or overly cringy and stuff as well. Kind of like we mentioned with the psychiatrist fella.
Right.
But I think the show is still really honest in the parts where it counts.
Yeah.
Where the message is. But I think it's important to get the breadth of feeling in there as well, that you have laughs and you have quite well, sad moments.
You have to, because it is very, I mean, the topics they're talking about, it's just very sad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, you're right, yeah. You have to get that in there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I put more drama than comedy, but I've definitely felt like season two was more hopeful than season one, yes, which is really nice, and obviously we all need that at the moment, don't we?
Yeah.
And I've also put, it's really refreshing and brave to see grief from a male perspective, because you don't really see it that often, do you? And
that's true.
It's nice to kind of see it from a different perspective, because we've obviously had Fleabag and quite a lot of other things that have been from a woman's perspective, and it's nice, but you don't see it much from, obviously, the other side, so...
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I feel like, I don't know if it's just anecdotal evidence in my case, but I feel like when a man is left behind, he struggles more to deal with the loss than maybe a woman might.
Mm.
Not sure that's entirely true, but would you say that? I don't know.
Well, it's... Maybe. Obviously, the show has a lot of kind of flashbacks through him watching sort of home videos and stuff. Yeah. And it's nice to see, like, hear his reaction about what he'd do differently and what she did. And it's just, it's really nice, isn't it? And he was basically saying how she made sure everyone else was okay before she was okay and all this kind of thing. And
there was one point that was very emotional. There was not a dry room in the house. Was there?
Right.
Yes. It's got its emotional moments.
There's definitely some feels.
But yeah, like you say, I like that he's doing his best to move forward.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be a more positive force in people's lives, isn't he?
Yes. I mean, he still gets in the occasional see you next Tuesday.
Of course, obviously. Of course. I mean, why wouldn't you? And I like that that's part of his character as well. Like in this, often in life, you'll get into situations where you just don't want to be there, right?
Mm.
Like has happened a couple of times in this series. For his character, and most of the time you just kind of grin and bear it. It's like I don't know if it's just a British thing, but we tend to just put up with it for a while, don't we?
True.
But in this, he's like, you know, why would you put up with it?
Mm.
Why wouldn't you just leave? Like,
yeah,
you're a free person. If you don't want to be in a situation, just leave. You know, that's kind of my feeling.
Right.
So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. Probably shouldn't say too much more, really.
No, I think that's a perfect place to leave it. Really.
Good. So how would you rate?
I would give it 2 huge thumbs up. I thought it was just genuinely just a nice kind of show. I mean, it really has a good balance between comedy, drama, and obviously sadness.
Yes.
It's good. It's good to help sort of put things into perspective at the moment as well, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
Agree on all points. 2 thumbs up here. Great stuff. Yeah, if you liked season 1, then I would definitely keep going with it. Or if you haven't watched season 1, then maybe go watch season 1. It's a good show.
Only 6 episodes,
Only 6 episodes, short episodes. So why not get them in before the 24th? Cool.
On to the interview. This week we're joined by special guest Ron Funches, who currently stars in Trolls World Tour as Cooper in the sequel, and also King Shark in the bonkers but hilarious Harley Quinn animated series. And he also in Final Space at the moment, if you haven't checked out season 2. Also a comedian as well as a singer too. So very multifaceted talent there.
Yeah.
He talks all things Trolls and King Shark, and also about what other sort of animated shows he'd want to be in, like Rick and Morty and stuff. So that's pretty exciting. So yeah, really hope you enjoy the interview. Right, so welcome Ron Funches, who stars King Shark in Harley Quinn and Cooper in Trolls World Tour. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm, you know, as good as I can be, getting a lot of rest in, a lot of Animal Crossing time in. A lot of my island is immaculate. I already have an attic, so that's good. I got a kitchen and a back room, so things are doing well for me in a virtual world. In the real world, not so much.
It's all about the virtual world at the moment anyway. Right, so quickly talk about Harley Quinn, because that's obviously out tomorrow. It's pretty exciting. Just going back to when you first read the script, what was your reaction? Because it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? It's like completely bonkers and very violent, but hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Pretty much. You nailed it. I read it and I was a little bit, I wasn't very apprehensive, I would say, but I wanted to make sure that I read it and that the tone of it was going to be something different from what I'd seen before. You know, I was a big fan of the Batman animated series, and so I just didn't really know what they were going to do with it, if they were going to be true to the Harley Quinn character, or it was going to be how crazy it was going to be. And then as soon as I read it, and as soon as I heard of who was going to be involved with it, I was like, this is amazing. This is so funny, so well written. The story tracks well, but at the same time, it's completely crazy. And then just getting to work with people like Kaylee and Jason Alexander and all the people involved in it, and I was like, yeah, I gotta be involved in this.
Definitely. And so you got season 2 out super shortly. I've seen the first episode and it's so much fun. What can you tell us about the second season and for King Shark?
Just that it's crazier and wilder, and there's just more, I think there's just more love with Harley and Poison Ivy, get more into their relationship. And then for me, I get a little bit more fun things to do with my home area and some people of my past that I got to deal with. But overall, I just think it's more of like the unit coming together and seeing us coming together as a group, and just more craziness and more fun and more Kite Man.
Always great Kite Man, right? So how do you actually get into character? Because King Shark is so sweet, but then he's also completely sort of vicious at times, isn't he?
Yeah, that's me. That's not hard. it's really fun. It's just usually, you know, all the sweet stuff and the regular stuff, they're usually just like, hey, just be yourself. They just tell me to bring a lot of me to the character. I do a lot of improvising and ad-libbing on the character. And then when it comes to for time for him to get murderous, I kind of just have to really work myself up and let everything go. And I know I do a good job of, like, at the end of it, I'm kind of sweaty and tired.
Sounds a bit cathartic in a way.
Yeah, it really is. It gets a lot of, like, it's a great place to use a lot of things that might be angering me that I, you know, don't want to deal with. I put it into that character to bite people's heads off.
Brilliant. And would you say, obviously, other than King Shark, do you have a favorite? Because you noticed Kite Man. Also, I think Bane has got some of the best puns, possibly.
Yeah, I love Bane just because I also, Bane's played by a good friend of mine, James Adomian, and I just love him as a person. And he's so funny, and I think he does just such a great job with that character. So he's one of my favorite. And actually, I really love Clayface. I think Clayface is an amazing character in the show as well.
Definitely. And I mean, do you get to like record all together, or do you have to do it like separately?
Yeah, separately usually. Oh. Like sometimes we'll read things together to do like a table read together. But for the most part, all my records are separate. So I don't even really, I don't think, like I still don't think I've even met Kaylee. So it's kind of weird in that way. But it's really fun that, like, sometimes I've, you know, walked in and someone else is walking out and running into people like Wanda Sykes or Jason Alexander, you know, and it's just really, really cool to be watch them and watch what they bring to the show and try to make sure I, you know, live up to that.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got Trolls 2 out really soon. What can we look forward to in the sequel? Like, I've seen a clip, Cooper gets to meet his parents, which looks pretty fun.
Yeah, Cooper's on a journey to find some trolls that look like him. You know, I think, like a lot of us, especially me, sometimes we feel like we don't necessarily belong where we are. We don't necessarily fit in with the people around us, and it kind of nags at us a little bit. And Cooper kind of goes on this journey to find himself and find people like him. And it takes him to his mom and dad in some unexpected places. And at the same time, Poppy's on a journey to unite the whole kingdom, the whole troll kingdom. And I don't want to give away the whole plot, but I watched the movie with Anna Kendrick at a little premiere thing before everything shut down. And it's real sweet and real colorful and real beautiful. It's probably exactly what we need right now. And if you like the first movie, I promise you the second one doesn't let you down. It's funnier, it's prettier, it's sweeter, it's got great music, it's everything you want.
How much fun was it to do that film?
Oh, I love it. I never, like, to be honest with you, that's like my, in a business that doesn't necessarily have a lot of consistency, Trolls has been like my rock, you know, like since I worked on the first movie, anything Cooper related, I do. Like, I think I'm the only actor that is like in the movie, the TV show. I do the voice for the live production of Cooper just because I really like the character, and it's a lot of fun for me. And it gives me a job when sometimes, especially now, like I'm normally a stand-up comedian and there's no gigs for me to go do. So it's been very, very fortunate for me to have that character, and he's just a lot of fun and a lot of sweetness, and I love him.
Like, no one else is having this character.
No, yeah. I will never let him go. As long as the Troll series exists and they need Cooper, I will find a way to voice him.
So obviously you're in a load of like amazing animated show series. Is there any other sort of things you'd like to take part in? I mean, I really love Rick and Morty. I don't know if that's something you'd want to be part of, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Dan Harmon in general. I've worked with him on a couple of things, and I would love to work with him on Rick and Morty if I fit into that universe in any way. You know, I obviously don't want to force in anything, but if they need me, I'm sure they'll find me. But as far, I think it's any voice actor's dream to, I'd love to be on The Simpsons. Like, that's a thing that is just a dream as a comedian and as a voice actor and as someone who just grew up loving The Simpsons. So those two are probably the ones I look forward to, hope for the most. Definitely those two.
Yeah, and obviously you were in Powerless briefly. What was it like working with Alan Tudyk on that? Because obviously he's in Harley Quinn as well, but you probably don't get to work with him all that much.
No, not very much there. But yeah, Powerless, he's great. He's such a true professional, such a Juilliard trained actor, and I learned a lot from him from watching him prepare and watching how he works. And he's just, you know, he's a nerd legend. So, you know, I'm a big fan of his work. And through him, I've met some other nerd legends I love, like Nolan North. And so he's been just a cool guy to know. And, just a guy to look up to and enjoy his work.
Yeah, definitely. And so obviously we're all sort of in a bit of a weird time at the moment. We're watching loads of films, TV. What would you say your top TV and film picks are at the moment?
Oh, you know, like everybody else, I was watching The Tiger King and
so
enjoying the craziness and insanity of that. And then I watch a lot of pro wrestling, so I still go back and watch. I watch a lot of AEW wrestling, and I watch a lot of the old school wrestling that I grew up loving. And then lately, with my son and my fiance, we've been trying to do this movie every night where we watch like a classic film that I grew up on and try to introduce it to my son. And a couple nights ago we watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and it was
classic.
Yeah, and it was really special watching him fall in love with it on his own, you know, and him like it, and then telling him that, you know, like, I watched this when I was 9 years younger than you.
So just last question. So what's sort of next in the pipeline for you? So Trolls is out this month.
Yeah, April 10th. It'll be out at everyone's homes for them to download and watch. And other than that, I have a game show that I'm working on a platform called Quibi that'll be launching on April 6th. And I have a show that I think will come out May 25th. It's a game show called Nice One. And then other than that, I'm still working on other voiceover things. I'm doing a show called The Great North from the creators of Bob's Burgers. And then I'm in a movie project that I don't think I can talk about.
Nice. Great. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And enjoy your more Animal Crossing.
Oh, I'm going to get right back to my island, see if I can sell these turnips.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much. talk topics, we asked you guys, we'd like to know your favourite feel-good slash uplifting films. Because obviously, with all the things going on, we need these kind of films at the moment, don't we? So, Chris, should we start with your list? So
I don't have a list. I'm going to copy everyone else.
Okay. You go. Let's take it to Twitter first, shall we?
Yeah, let's take it to Twitter first.
Okay. So first up, we got Nurse Chatty at Nurse Chatty, who said, oof, okay. How about Back to the Future, Elf, It's a Wonderful Life? Massively out of left field, however, the message and trials world tour is wonderful. Three Men and a Baby, The Shawshank Redemption, the last 20 minutes anyway, oh, and When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, good.
It's quite a view there.
Definitely Back to the Future for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your list, Ben.
Obviously, Elf as well.
Oh, Elf,
yeah. Oh, there's just so many good lines in Elf. It's hard not to smile, right? Watching that film, it's great. I just love how, like, completely different the entire films are as well on his list, which is great. So thank you so much for sending in yours, Ben. Next up, we got Jack and the Geekstalk at Jack Geekstalk, who said, Hook will always bring back that cosy nostalgia and is still funny to this day. Also, any Star Wars film is feel good for me too. Rufio! Rufio! Oh, I do love that film.
This is probably what it's going to come down to for me, is like the childhood nostalgia films.
Yeah, definitely. Just the whole nostalgia buzz, right?
Yeah.
And what is it about childhood where, I don't know what it is.
Just better times.
Yeah, true.
Less issues.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, Hook was fantastic. Also, Robin Williams.
He's great, man. Robin Williams.
But yeah, amazing shout. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Next, we've got I Am Jack's Musings at I Am Jack's Musings. He said, for me, it's a case of time travelling back to the 80s for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Karate Kid, or any of the Back to the Future trilogy. There you go, Chris.
And Karate Kid as well.
Yes.
Great, great stuff. 80s films in general, I'll give you that.
Yeah, kind of. Are they the best genre? I mean, is it a genre? I mean, like, best time?
The best films and the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Maybe. I mean, were the Indiana Jones 80s films too?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jax. And next up, we got Geico at Get Your Comic Con. He said, I really want to say something non-comic book, but my brain keeps going Wonder Woman. There's so much hope in that scene on No Man's Land. The score just hits you right in the feels every time.
Interesting.
I would agree. Chris would probably not, but...
Wonder Woman the film?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not my favourite film.
Oh,
but fair play.
But that scene is a fantastic scene. And I think she's very sort of... She's kind of a beacon of hope, isn't she? So that is nice.
Well, it's what you want from a superhero. Anyway.
Yeah. And that score when it comes in. Yeah. Good. Thank you very much, Neil. Next up, we've got Neil Byrne at Neil Byrne. He said, oh, wow. Now, here's a question. These are just a few of mine. Are you ready for this? Right. We've got Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Good shout. Yep.
BTTF, all of them. What's BTTF?
Back
to the Future. Back to the Future. Gosh, how did I not know? Yeah, obviously.
Good call.
Empire Strikes Back. Great. Short
Circuit. All of the original trilogy, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, certainly.
Well, Empire Strikes Back is probably the best of them, though, right?
Most people would say that, yes.
Ooh, I'm not sure I necessarily agree. Interesting. Short Circuit. Oh, it's a great film.
It's a great film. Yeah. I really like
that
one.
Transformers, the movie.
The first one? Yeah, yes, brilliant.
Yeah. G.I. Joe, the movie. Interesting.
Okay. There was a lot of exposition in that movie. I remember a scene where the camera was just moving around and they were talking.
Robin Hood, the Disney cartoon. I don't really remember that one that much. I remember my sister liking it a lot.
We'd only watched that a few times. Yeah, it's like he was a fox or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure. Oh, yeah, good. Just Be Excellent to Each Other. Great. Brewster's Millions. Not heard of that one.
Brewster's Millions, no.
Trading Places and Teen Wolf.
Interesting. Yeah, some good choices there. Some
very good choices there. Thank you very much. Next up, we got the Valkyries at Valkyries Blog, who said, fantastic Mr. Fox, always. Aww.
Not sure I've seen that one.
It's Wes Anderson, right? And it's sort of like the stop motion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and there's a film. I don't know if I've seen it.
I'm pretty sure I have. But yeah, Roald Dahl, I mean, he's just amazing, right?
Yeah, it's hard to deny.
Also, Wes Anderson is great as well. Grand Budapest Hotel, Isle of Dogs.
He does very interesting things, doesn't he?
Yeah, so great shout there. Next up, we got Jumpcut Online. At Jumpcut Online, he said, Sing Street. Oh, that was a great film. I thought that was great. I reply back. I really like John Carney films. I think they're really good. So you have Once, you know, the musical.
Hmm.
Begin Again. I don't know if you remember that one. Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo. And also Sing Street. And I think they're just the soundtracks as well are great. So
okay.
Good shout. Next up, we got Earth 9 at Earth 9 DC. You said torn between two. We got The Greatest Showman, just always makes me happy. But Step Brothers makes me barely laugh, so will always cheer me up. I just saw someone say Wedding Singer, so I have to throw that in the mix too. And that was from Rob. I love Step Brothers.
I was going to say exactly that. Yeah, I love that film.
There's so, so much room for activities. Yeah. Did we just become best friends?
So many good lines. Yeah. So many good lines.
Next up we've got Wolf of Steve. Wolf of Steve said, this bad boy always makes me feel good from being a kid to this very day. I have the power. And that's Masters of the Universe.
Don't interesting that you didn't say Wolverine.
Yeah, that was quite surprising. Next up we've got David Oakes at David Oakes 8, who says, Big, Alf, Hunt for the Wilder People, Stardust, Paddington. But today it'll be Eddie the Eagle.
Some good choices. Yeah, Big, for sure.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Love that one.
Stardust. That's a very, like, Stardust. Fantastical.
I did like that. I
loved Robert De Niro in it. He was the best, wasn't he? Wasn't he like a
pirate?
A pirate who dressed up as a woman,
right?
So yeah. Fun. Paddington, obviously.
Obvs.
And Eddie the Eagle's brilliant. I need to watch that again. So, so good.
Good film.
So, fantastic list. Thank you. Next up, we got 20th Century Geek _ pod at 20th Century Geek, who said, I love a good, simple adventure. Any of the three Indiana Jones films? Three Musketeers from 1993, The Rocketeer, or The Mask of Zorro? Mm,
oh, nice. Yeah. They really don't have many adventure films anymore, do they?
Like, you should get back into that. Definitely. Yeah.
But Indiana Jones, for sure, for me.
Definitely. And next we got Claire Payne, a Gotham Like Claire, who said, Eddie the Eagle, starring Taron Egerton and Hugh Jackman. A brilliant true story about an English Olympic hero. It's definitely such a good feel-good film, isn't it? And it's very good sort of underdog story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
feel-good,
for sure. Definitely going to have to rewatch that again soon, aren't we? I think.
Yes.
Next up, we've got Kevin Brackett at Kevin R. Brackett, who says, Singing in the Rain. Oh, that's possibly one of your mum's favourites,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah, she loves those old musicals. Yeah. I like that. It's a good movie.
Hmm. Jurassic Park, another one of your favourites, right?
I like Jurassic Park. Yeah, good stuff.
Sound of Music. Oh, yeah. Always reminds me of Christmas, that one. Greatest Showman. Love the soundtrack. Big Fish. Aladdin 1992, your favourite Disney film, right?
Yes, maybe Moana's up there. Yep.
Charles World Tour, that's another one for Charles World Tour. Maybe I have to watch this. And Toy Story 4.
Good stuff.
Next we've got M at Verbal Diorama, who said, just off the top of my head, the first thing that came to mind is The Wedding Singer, one of Sandler's best by far and just wonderful. Sweet Drew Barrymore. Oh, I adore it. It just makes me smile so damn much. Oh, nice. Yeah, I remember really liking this one. So thank you very much. Next up, we got Kevin at Colorado, who put a gif of Russell from Up. Aww.
Yeah.
If you take away the first 10 minutes, I will agree with that statement.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of films which have like really sad moments in. I'm not sure I would put them in that category.
True.
But I guess if they have the really uplifting moments too, then it's kind of like, it's difficult.
Balances out, difficult. Isn't it? Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone, for sending those in. Chris, do you have a top sort of list after that?
Just like what everyone said, really.
That's cheating.
Back to the Future, yeah, good one. Indiana Jones, good stuff. The original trilogy, Star Wars. A lot of, like, 80s movies, kind of like Die Hard and stuff like that. It's quite good, isn't it? I mean, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've actually done this,
sure.
So my top 10, not in any particular order, but I've put Paddington.
Right.
Yeah. That counts for one and two. Moana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going on my list yet.
Sure. Matilda. Because it's just, a nice film. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, really love those.
Eddie the Eagle. Labyrinth. Because it just reminds me of being a child. It's like good. The Goonies.
Yes.
Never Been Kissed. Oh, because it's so good. 10 Things I Hate About You and Alf. I think are my favourites.
Enough.
Fair enough.
Good job, yes. Nicola. Good job, okay?
Thank you. I might put one of these all together in a letterbox list, maybe, and share it with everyone so they can maybe do some rewatches.
Some feel-good rewatching during these difficult times.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you so much for joining in, and do look out for our next top topic over on Twitter.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us to let us know your feel-good films or anything that you've been watching and recommend, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
Right, we're most active on Twitter. You can find us twitter.com/ We Have a Hulk Pod. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to find us there, we're // We Have a Hulk Pod. We're also...
We Have a Hulk Doctor UK.
Yeah, where Nicola does reviews and stuff. And we're on YouTube, but we're not really on YouTube. So yeah, don't worry about that. That's everything, is it?
I think so. So I just hope everyone's getting on okay. As Nerd Chatting said, if you ever want to talk to us or watch a film together or anything, just let us know. Go check out Hot Fuzz on Thursday. I'm sure that'll be really fun. And I haven't seen it in ages, so I'm really looking forward to watching that again. And not sure what we're going to be talking about in the next episode, but there's Extraction coming out on Netflix soon, you know, the Chris Hemsworth one. Yeah, that might be quite good, given that a watch. Because everyone else can see it, because it's on Netflix. Sure. And once again, really hope you all had a great Easter. I hope you had loads of chocolates. Hope to see you next time.
Maybe we should do a Twitter watch party for that, because it's like a new thing.
Oh, for Extraction? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's kind of... Is there like trivia or anything on it?
Yeah, that's true.
I quite like doing trivia and behind the scenes things. And
you can find trivia for other movies that they've been in, I suppose.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Let us know if we did a watch party for Extraction, would you watch
along? Would you be interested in that or no? Be honest.
I don't know if we can take it, but we'll try. Anyway, we have our bread waiting for us in the oven.
We shall find out if our bread has successfully succeeded.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye.